Kevin Powell in studio. We're going to talk Cubs. Before we do that, 773 says, yo, Dustin. I like, it's Justin, but it's okay. I like Dustin. I guess you could say that this year the fire is a little engine that could. Yeah. So we're going to do that tonight. We're going to have some puns.
I get it.
Also, a shout out to Donald, the Uber driver, for that. So there you go.
I'm kind of excited about the Chicago Fire. I think because I hate to even use this analogy or comparison, but like if a team emerges out of nowhere and they're really good, people will get behind them.
Yeah.
In many ways, the Blackhawks, I'm not comparing the Fire to the Blackhawks, but the Blackhawks for a younger generation, they emerge as like a new team. Like younger kids are like, who's this Blackhawks
team?
I've never
right.
even heard of it. And then for older generations, it was like, this is awesome. This is a throwback. So it was like the perfect merge
my
of younger and older generations.
It's funny because my generation, Kevin Powell, of course, does sports for Rowan Anna and WGN Radio for a long time here. but I have that issue because my generation, I'm 42 years old, grew up with a Hawks team that was not very good. And yeah. actually, when they had their troubles and no one was going and no one was paying attention to them, I'm talking about the Eric Daze days.
Yeah.
That was right when you would be cementing yourself as a Hawks fan. I was 18 years old, 20, 22 years old. I remember being in high school when the team went to the Stanley Cup finals and got swept.
Yeah.
That was like senior year of high school. But after that, it was downhill. So, yes, I'm the generation. It's like when the Hawks came back, I was like, yeah.
Yeah. Your right. generation, even yeah. older generations, and then for younger kids are like, who's this Blackhawks team that's really good all of a sudden? Are they a new team?
What is this sport?
So, like, they totally, you know, were completely attracted to them.
Well,
so I'm not going that. Yeah. I'm not comparing it. But in some ways, I think people will get behind the Fire if they all of a sudden are, like, competing for the
I just wonder if it's mainstream as well because, you know, they get good crowds that come out there. There's a definite, very healthy soccer population, fan population here in Chicago. So it might just be about the mainstream media.
I'm getting behind the Fire, Justin.
All right.
Let's do it. We're Team Fire, baby.
If we're convert, I'm converting you one by one to WG and
stuff. It was easy
right.
for you. Yes.
And I have not watched a Chicago Fire game, so but I'm into it now.
Yes.
All right, but let's talk about the Chicago Cubs. Yeah. Chicago Cubs, of course, the world champs. A lot sort of as the first half of the year has progressed, a lot of people at the beginning of the year said, hey, they're on track to repeat. We're going to see this rinse and repeat for 4 or 5 years. They're going to be competitive. It hasn't really worked out that way. Nate Silver in 538 said this is the longest hangover or the biggest hangover almost in MLB history, the run differential. What's wrong with the Chicago Cubs that they went from such a dominant squad to a team that is literally 500?
Well, in many ways, last year what they did in all sorts of different statistical categories was unprecedented. I mean, the defense was unbelievable. The run differential, as you mentioned, was nobody had done what they had done before. So you knew there was going to be some sort of regression. I don't think to this extent. But keep in mind, this is still one of the youngest teams in all of baseball. So I'm not one of those that's always going to automatically go to sophomore slump. But okay, Addison Russell, let's look at his number. He's batting 228 with 7 homers and 28 RBIs.
Right.
Okay. He batted, you know, 230, 240 last year, but the power production isn't there. 21 homers, 95 RBI. So he's dialed it down a little bit. He's been dealing with a nagging shoulder injury. You know, there isn't one specific thing you can point to. Early on in the season, it was like, the pitching. They had been so dominant last year. You have Hendricks, the ERA, lowest ERA in baseball. Lester was right there. This year, it's a totally different story. Now John Lester has the lowest ERA among starters, and it's 3.94. That's like up a run and
Jeez,
a half from
crazy.
Last year.
Yeah, right.
So there was that. But then over the past 2 weeks, the starting pitchers have actually been pretty good, save for Mike Montgomery's blow-up throwaway game, you know, 2 days ago. There's things here and there, but the starting pitchers haven't been very good. Okay, well, let's look at runners in scoring position, Justin. Didn't it feel like last year, whenever the Cubs needed a big hit,
yep.
whenever there was an opportunity to score a run at a timely spot in a game, they came up with a hit? Runners in scoring position this year, they're batting 233 compared to last year, which was 252. And that 252 is over the length of an entire season. So those 20 points, you know, could be spread out as this season moves on. It's just not clicking.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody's really been able to identify anything specific. And even Theo said it before this series. He said, look, we're not relying or leaning on a trade. They just simply have to play better. And that is the case. They're just not playing all that well.
Well, let me ask you, because it is interesting because I think about there has been a strange regression for starting pitching across Major League Baseball this year.
Some of the aces
that you counted on are given 7-8 runs, you know, like early on. But you're seeing course correction. You're starting to see a Jacob DeGrom in New York or others that maybe had a terrible start figuring it out. And over time, their stats sort of become the median. They're back to where they were. You're seeing this across the board. With the Cubs being so young, it's hard to tell what you have with a guy like Addison Russell or a guy like Albert Elmora or any of the guys who have to come in and make spot starts. You don't know where the median is at because they've only played one season in this league.
It's a great point. And look, I'm not one of those people throwing up the red flags calling, you know, they do have the luxury of playing in the Central. They're, what, just four games back of the Brewers, and the Cubs haven't even played all that well. Not at all. And they're just four games back. Now, Joe Maddon does his Joe Maddon thing and talks to the media and says, hey, we're actually in pretty good shape. You know, everything's totally cool. Like, you know, we're just four games back. Well, you know, I think it's one of those hangover feelings where, you know, I don't really get this sense when I'm in the clubhouse or around the guys, but you can understand or kind of get the sentiment where you felt it in any scenario in life where, like, the Cubs are probably, like, just they just kind of kicking the can down the road. Like, oh, we'll win five here. We'll win six there. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. And then it's like, well, maybe we're not fine. We're down. We're eight games back in the Central. So I just think there's so much talent here that the, you know, water levels itself out a little bit. I don't think the Brewers can, you know, really run away with this division. So there's plenty of opportunity. Yeah. Now, they are going to make a trade.
Let me ask you this, you know, because I will say this as well. Watch out for the Cardinals because here they come too. They've won something like six or seven in a row or whatever. But, okay, the Cubs, and we talk about trades. There has always been this idea that perhaps the trade would be for someone to add to pitching. They're making a run. Is there any way in any scenario that you see that the Cubs go a different direction and raise a white flag? Meaning they're not going to be the team that is getting the Aroldis Chapman like they did last year. Instead, they're giving up a Wade Davis, or they're giving up, they're restocking, if you will, because they know that they might have enough to get there, but this isn't their year.
No, I mean, the only scenario would be after the All-Star break, you have about 2 weeks remaining until the trade deadline or so. The only scenario would be if they went on some unbelievable losing streak. You know, I was talking to Mark Carmen about this, avid Cub fan, as you may know, Justin Cub. This was about a week or so ago, and he was already taunting, you know, floating that idea out there. Let's start moving Wade Davis. Maybe move Jake Arrieta. The Cubs are not, they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that. They have full intentions of not only winning the division and making the postseason, but winning the World Series this year. That's still 100% on the table in Theo's mind and in Joe Maddon's mind, and I think in the players' mind, unless some of these younger guys are getting down on themselves. I think there's enough talent, though, that they can carry it for the full length of the season and make this interesting. But for me, I know they're going to make a trade. They will not be. The Cubs will not be sellers at this. No. It's just not going to happen. Right. There's the problem is what do they need? I mean, if you're going to go get a leadoff guy or something, okay. But then who do you take off the roster right now? You're going to put Kyle Schwarber in Triple. I mean, you can't just keep taking pitchers out of the bullpen and create space for a leadoff guy. Who are you going to take out? You're going to take Almora off the roster? You're going to take John Jay off the roster?
Yeah. I mean, if you go out, I don't know who they would be, but if you were going to go out and get a starting center fielder like an Adam Jones or somebody who has the potential to be the...
But is Jones a leadoff guy?
Well, okay, let's say the best leadoff guy there is, then you're going to have to make some sacrifice, right?
Yeah, I don't think the leadoff spot. I know, like, that's what everybody keeps pointing to, but a lot was made of that, you know, obviously because the whole Kyle Schwarber experience didn't work out. But I think they have answers at the leadoff spot. I do. I don't think it's going to be a steady rock at the top like Dexter Fowler was last year. But I've been saying all year I thought Ben Zobrist should be the leadoff guy. Said that you know, before opening day. I like the idea of Kyle Schwarber, but if it didn't work, I would immediately go to Ben Zobrist. Now, he hasn't been hitting all that well. He's also been dealing with an injury, but I think there's plenty of answers there.
He's very similar to, I mean, in numbers, he's almost identical to Addison Russell. He's 220 with seven home runs.
Yeah, but he's a better on-base guy, and he always works tough at bats. He's a switch hitter. He's a smart hitter. It's exactly what you want. He can run a little bit. It's not
he's
like
got his wife's walk-up music.
Walk-up music, which I actually think he ditched this year, by
Did
the
he?
Way.
We went to the game, and it was Benny and the Jets.
That's what he should play every time.
That's what
like,
he played
no offense.
His but,
wife
it was his,
is,
but it was his wife doing it.
Oh, it is his wife doing it? Okay.
So, yeah.
Like, well, anyways, there was another one that was like one of her songs, which was, you know, no offense to Mrs. Overs, but it's not like for a, you know, a ballpark. I'm glad he moved on from it. I do believe the answers for the leadoff spot are on the Cubs. I do believe the offensive answers are on the roster already. They need starting pitching for this year and for years to come.
You know what's so interesting about the Cubs is that last year they could not they couldn't find a place for guys like Jorge Soler and others. Like, they just had too much production. This year, and you're really testing the depth of this team with the injuries and people who haven't been producing like Kyle Schwarber. Talk about that. I mean, Ian Happ, a guy that kind of got called up and they're like, it's going to be a couple spot starts. And he has now found himself as a fixture in the starting lineup for Joe Maddon.
Yeah. And in the middle of the order, which nobody really saw coming. I think Joe Maddon likes him too, because he's flexible. Joe Maddon can put him in the outfield. They can put him in the infield. They can move him around the order. And that's what we've seen now from the Cubs the past couple of years. They pluck a guy out of the minor leagues, throw him in, and somehow, I mean, that's a credit to Theo in that. Now, the farm system, here's what I'm interested in to see what the Cubs are going to do. Do they go and get a rental like Aroldis Chapman and give up another top prospect? Do you give up a Candelaria? Do you give up a Hap for a pitcher that you're going to have for 3 months?
What about a starter?
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
not a bullpen. I'm just using the same comparison to what they did with Chapman, who was a rental, and then he was gone. But you gave up a hefty, hefty price to get him. Now,
He won the World Series.
He won the World Series, which was fine. So do the Cubs go that route again and thin that farm system? That's certainly not thin, but it's going to get
Kevin,
there. With one more trade of some prospects, that Cubs farm system is nothing like it was 2 years ago, which is fine because you'd rather have the big league.
The yeah,
exactly.
Well, I mean, that seems to be the way that you win World Series these days, is at the trading deadline, you go and get superstars to rent for a couple months. They come in and they make the big plays in the championship series and the World Series. I mean, that seems to be the way of baseball is moving. I mean, you almost have to do that if you're the Chicago Cubs to think about bringing in some all-star, but you're right. You have to give something up to do that.
You have to give up something to do that. Plus, who are the options? There's not a whole lot of you can get rid of the Chris Archer idea. That's probably not going to happen. Tampa can
They're competing
right now. They're going to compete for a wild card spot in the American League. They're not going to give up Archer. Marcus Stroman with Toronto, probably not going to happen. He's a guy they're building around.
And he's young.
He's young and he's controllable. That's what the Cubs want, but why would Toronto give up him? You know what
I mean?
You're
looking for a guy who's going to be a free agent next year
Well, I'm saying even if you can get a controllable arm, like if you're going to get a Stroman, you're going to give up a whole lot. Now, there's a guy that I've floated out there for the past year or so, Justin, and his name is Jose Quintana. And it makes so much damn sense. It makes so much sense, except for the fact that the Cubs and Sox play in the same town. Which, for me, it doesn't matter to me. I honestly, Roe and I were talking about this on the show the other day, about why the Cubs and Sox wouldn't make a deal. So, in your opinion, why wouldn't they make a deal?
Mostly because I guess it was either personality thing, bad blood between the teams, or some sort of marketability where they don't want to see their player draw a crowd to their building instead of the other way around.
I think I don't think there's really a whole lot of bad blood between the two teams at this point. I really don't. I think it peaked like 10 years ago and sort of fizzled out since the White Sox have been bad and the Cubs were bad for a stretch of that. I think the marketability, for one, I think that they just don't want to hear about one, they just don't want to deal with it, and they don't want to, in sport, they don't want to deal with their players listening to it every day. I mean, there will literally be reports on sports stations in this town every day, update on the Jose Quintana, Candelario, Hap trade. And right. they'll put them up on the screen and they'll compare. And you know, I think it's honestly because the sports conversation landscape in media and just in general is so much more intense and scrutinizing.
Yeah.
And on social media, on TV, the newspapers still.
Yeah.
Like, people are going to dissect this trade forever. And to me, I think the Cubs and Sox should overlook that and just realize the fact that, that you're going to get scrutinized no matter what you do.
Does
There's going to be criticism.
Does it change the... I mean, I agree with you. I think Jose Quintana is a great move for the Cubs.
It makes perfect. He's
Does
a lefty control
change because the Brewers are kicking the tires on Quintana. That was announced today that they're looking at him and they're sending scouts to watch him pitch. Does it change the Cubs' sort of approach when their rival in the Central, who they're going to be battling down the stretch, is looking at this at a guy that, that might be pitching against them?
I don't know for sure if that would motivate Theo or any of them. It could. It certainly could. Maybe it's something that was floated out there too. To create a little bit more of a market. I don't know, but I just do think that the both of the teams should put aside that idea that because of the proximity of the two teams that there's going to be all this criticism and scrutiny. There is. There's going to be plenty of it. But, and I, like I just said, it's a different landscape now. But you look back, like, okay, the Sammy Sosa thing, that's never been some, like, dark cloud hanging over the White Sox organization, no. right? I mean, I think... the sports fan also is a little more educated now where we can, let's say 10 years down the road and they were to make a trade, just hypothetically speaking, I think everyone would, you know, there'd be some busting of chops between Cubs and Sox fans for sure. But I think everyone would look back at this time in Chicago baseball and understand why both teams made this deal.
And it certainly behooves the White Sox to get the best deal for the best minor league haul they can, because they are building on the South Side, as we've seen, much like we did with the Cubs in the last 5 years. They're building something. I mean, there is more interest in the team in Charlotte than there is in the team.
So there's a reason Comcast Sportsnet Chicago is airing Charlotte Knights games.
I watched it.
I watch it every time it's on. It's actually great because they air them really early. It's like 11 o'clock in the morning.
I love it.
I wake up and I'm like, sweet, I'm watching
when
Johan Moncada.
I'm like, oh, what do we got here?
Right. Yeah.
But, I mean, there's something to be said that, the White Sox, I mean, this is a, you know, as we make a quick transition to the White Sox, this is a crucial time for them. This has been this. The next 2 weeks have been talked about all season long about what's going to happen with some of their veterans and if they can get a minor league haul that will restock, essentially. In fact, when all these other great minor league players come up in the next couple,
they made up a whole lot of ground in the offseason. Rick Hahn did a phenomenal job moving some guys, and you know, Chris Sale and Adam Eaton. They got a lot for Eaton, a lot more than I thought they would. They got, I think, a respectable return for Chris Sale. They got what they should have got.
Yeah, he's going to win the Cy Young.
He's going to win the Cy, yes. But Yoan Moncada is just named, once again, the top prospect in all of baseball right now. So for the next 2 weeks. Now, here's the thing. With Quintana, they don't necessarily need to trade him by the deadline. Of course, there's the obvious, the risk that he gets hurt. But if he stays healthy and his numbers go back, and he's been really good
his,
over
his,
the yeah
his curve, he's coming back after a
100%.
Tough start. Yeah.
The last month or so, he's been good. He's been Jose Quintana, which Jose Quintana is probably a 2 on a good rotation. And if he's a 3, that means you got a really, really good rotation. So if Rick Hahn said this over the winter, they were in conversations of moving Quintana. And he didn't like the haul that he would have brought, so he didn't make the move. Even if Jose Quintana doesn't get traded by the deadline, he still has a ton of value in the winter. And even if he doesn't get traded over the winter, he'll still probably have a ton of value a year from now with a couple more years. So they're not going to force anything. Now, the guys like Todd Frazier and Melky Cabrera, get what you can get for them. I mean, they're free agents after the year. Get rid of them. Get what you can. And I think Frazier could get you a sneaky amount of prospects. I do.
Well, he'll be a bat that power bat that you can use if you're a team in contention. I will say this, and you know, as we pay attention to Major League Baseball at the All-Star break, there is a team in the Houston Astros that are very reminiscent of the 2016 Chicago Cubs. I mean, as you look at it, I think the Astros and
the at least the offensive wise and the pitching's been good, but they've had some injuries here and there
and
where the Cubs had the luxury of but the Astros need another starting pitcher.
The question becomes a team that is all in.
Right.
And has sniffed around on Jose Quintana
and
before.
And this is a year the Astros are doing what the Cubs did and what the White Sox are currently doing. They were horrible for like the past 3 or 4 years, but now you're seeing all that talent rise to the top. But they probably need one more really good pitcher, and they're going to be active at the
And I will say, watching a couple Astros games this year, The Astros are much better than the Cleveland Indians. And for the Cubs to get back to the World Series, it's going to be against the Houston Astros, and that'll be a different kind of game. I mean, I'm a Sox guy. I don't like the Indians. I don't think they're any good. They weren't any good in that World Series. The Cubs got lucky they didn't lose that series. They were a much better team on paper, and they didn't play that way.
You're right about the Astros. Look, if you're a common baseball fan, if you're diehard listening, if you're scrolling around TV at night and you see the Astros on national TV, watch them. George Springer, Correa. I mean, the list goes on. They have a ton of
they're all
Altuve.
23 years old or whatever.
Great,
yeah.
Fun players to watch on the team. They're going to be dangerous for a while.
Kevin Powell, he covers the Cubs and sports and also is the sports anchor for the Rokan with Anna DeVellante's program here on WGN Radio. Kevin, thanks for sticking around talking Cubs.
Thanks, brother. Anytime.